Welcome back, listeners, to Season 23 of Survivor. This is The Merge. I am your host.
No. It's not The Merge. It's Tribal Council.
Tribal Council?
Yeah. Did you listen to our podcast last year?
Is that official? Are we changing?
Yeah, I think it's pretty official. I mean, everybody I surveyed said Tribal Council was better than The Merge.
And like, how many people? Did you survey your fiancé and that's it?
Well, and a common friend,
okay,
a foodie. so I would say, yes, sample size is 2, so margin of error is, what, 50%?
I'm Ralph, that's my co-host Chris, and we're here to guide you through the first episode of Season 23, Survivor South Pacific. And we have 2 returning players, Redemption Island returns, and something called a Heroes Challenge.
Yeah, that was sort of silly.
Let's dive right into intro on the beach. You know, they usually like to start with some sort of crazy, epic, wide shot of Jeff, and I was sorely disappointed by what they chose this year.
Yeah, that's true. He wasn't, like, dangling by his arm out of the helicopter or something.
He wasn't on top of some sort of, like, crazy mountaintop or in the middle of some gigantic ocean. He was just in the arena on the beach.
Yeah, and normally we have that sort of that Mark Burnett signature camera shot that you start zoomed in and then zoom out and see how small we are in the world.
And they did it. It was just not very epic.
They still had the helicopters.
They bring in the tribes, and of course, some people are wearing. You know, Edna's wearing a business suit. Homeboy's wearing a sweater vest. How many seasons is it going to be, Chris, before we actually have, you know, survivors who are prepared to enter the game?
I don't, you know, it's funny that you say this. I was just thinking, you know, from here on out, for the remaining seasons of Survivor, I think we should just save this first, 2 minutes or so of the podcast and just use that, we don't even have to re-record it each season. You know, we just talk about, you know, the idiots that show up in suits and sweaters and dresses and heels and give them a hard time. We just won't use names. How does that sound?
Well, let me throw this back at you, because I thought of the fact that they were wearing stuff they shouldn't wear, but I was also thinking of the fact they're color coordinated. Like, the people on the blue team were wearing shades of blue, and the people on the red team were either wearing shades of red or brighter colored stuff to signify them from the cooler, darker colors of team blue.
I hadn't noticed that.
Watch it again when they're on the maps. You'll see it. It's pretty obvious that once they're both color coordinated, at least slightly. Ozzy and Coach were not. You know, Coach was wearing black, and Ozzy was wearing camouflage.
Green, yeah, camo. Well, they didn't have their teams yet, though, so. Yeah, I mean, the one that jumps out at me is, Cochran, as we're, which, by
Johnny
the way,
Cochran.
We have a lawyer named Johnny Cochran.
Johnny Cochran,
yes.
Yeah.
I mean, the kid's been watching for how many seasons and talking about what an Uber fan he is, yet he shows up in a sweater vest? I mean, I don't get it. I'm never going to get it.
That's why I think it's more of a plant than anything else. Right? They're constructed certain colors, and like they want whatever they're wearing to sort of reflect who they are as people. So the anesthesiologist gets a business suit, and the Harvard Law kid gets a sweater vest.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, Jeff does talk about that you know, the sort of come to represent who you are, or come dressed to represent who you are, but, and as we've seen, like, they sort of suddenly all have, you know, color-coordinated bathing suits somewhere down the line, a la last season, so. I guess we have to let this go eventually. Sooner or later, we have to come up with new material for our season premiere podcast.
What were your thoughts on the Hero Challenge?
I kind of like it. I think it would have been more interesting if they had done something to the effect of, like, Hero Challenge first, and, like, winner gets to pick their tribe.
Oh, yeah.
And see what kind of lobbying would occur based on Ozzy winning versus Coach winning. Obviously, if Ozzy won, I think both teams lobby for him. If Coach wins, they probably all both shut up and just sort of say, pick the other guy.
Yeah, I was wondering if reception would have been warm from both tribes for Ozzy, and it certainly seems that way. It seems like it was set up that way last season, too, where, like, one tribe would have been happy to have, both tribes would have been happy to have Boston Rob and neither traveler was happy with.
Oh, yeah, this is exactly the same as last season. There's one that they totally want and one that they totally don't like. And it was evident when they got ended up with their tribes. I mean, Coach goes over and he's very, you know, sterilely shaking hands, and Ozzy goes over arms wide open, and the entire group embraces him.
I mean, they also completely came off a challenge that Ozzy managed to complete and not win Coach. So
No. This was before.
Oh, before. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, when they picked the colored eggs and cracked them open, which is.
I mean, I
decidedly anticlimactic or something. I don't know.
I can't see myself reacting differently. I can't see myself getting excited to be on team with Coach Wade.
Oh, of course not. No. By the way, one other thing. We got a full intro sequence. We haven't seen that since, I believe, like the opening episode of last season.
Yeah, it's not.
It'd be interesting to see if we still get it.
Right. That doesn't bode well. Because usually they cut it in favor of content. So.
Well, one other thing is I loved this challenge, the challenge itself, not whether or not it was a hero challenge or whatever, but I loved the actual challenge itself. The Towers of Hanoi, I'm sure when you saw it, you thought this is, I hope you thought, this is Chris's wheelhouse. I mean, the Towers of Hanoi.
It's a logic problem.
I mean, oh, exactly. It's a logic problem that it's completely algorithmic. I could have solved that puzzle 8 times over in the time that they sat there holding the turtle trying to figure out what to do.
I just liked that Ozzy got, like, 2 steps into it, and then he looked over his tribe with this helpless look on his face, like...
Well, it was very smart.
Help?
Yeah, no, that was a fantastic idea. There's no rule he can't help you. Right. Like, why wouldn't they help you? You know which team is yours, so...
But there is a no-tag-out rule, remember that.
Right, yeah, there's a no-tag-out rule.
So... Moving along, you know, Coach is welcome back to his team. They're loving him for bringing them some taro root and flint. And my first thought was, Blue's not so bad off because Okalu.
You mean Ozzy is welcome back to his team?
Did I say Coach?
You said Coach, yeah.
Well, Upolu
Coach brought them nothing, and they all deserted him.
Upolu has the rancher, cattle rancher.
Yeah, Rich, I think, or Rick.
Yeah. Rick.
The mustache,
yeah,
right?
Very good, Rick. Yeah, Rick was mentioning that being a cattle rancher, he would have to know how to build a fire. So it's like, well, it's not so bad if they lose. They won't have the taro root, but at least they'll have fire. And they certainly seem to. So that didn't seem to be an issue. But I guess heading back, I was struck at how cavalier Ozzy was about not building shelter or gathering water or whatever.
Yeah, that was sort of funny. I mean, he eventually comes back to it later on and says, you know, I'm fine doing whatever, but these people are going to need some shelter and stuff to make them help them feel a little more normal and a little more at home. I was a little bit surprised that he didn't step up more and like, these are the things we need to do. I know you guys are relying on me for this.
Let's sort of take a look, closer look at Upolu, the blue team.
Okay.
Coach Wade is their fearless leader right now. I gotta say, I don't like his chances, you know, long term in this game. I don't know what Coach 3.0 is, but I'm not buying stock.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, Coach 3.0, what was the upgrade from Coach 1.0 to Coach 2.0? Was it a haircut? I mean, I didn't see any difference in those two coaches that we saw.
He was more amorous with a woman.
He was just as amorous as his options, I think. I mean, Token Sheens? Token Sheens wasn't really littered with women in his target audience.
Moving along to probably the one guy I know the least about, at least it seems like he got featured the least, him and the bro on the Savai tribe. But Albert is his name. He's the ethnically ambiguous baseball coach.
Oh, yeah. He's the guy who's like, I'm a coach also.
Right. I know very little about him. He's a physical
That's all. I didn't even remember his name.
That's about it. I'm just looking at the bios on Survivor's website. So
I figured you were, because I was going to say I don't remember there being an Albert.
Right. After Albert, we have Brandon Hance, who's only 19. He seems a little bit older than that on the show, but
Didn't he say he was married?
Yeah, but again, it's Texas, Chris.
Well, no, I know, but he made it, the way he was talking about it, made it sound like it was like he went to high school, he left high school, he had a few years, he got married, like, he made it sound like this was over the span of several years.
Chris, he was
off sounds more like it was, what?
He was off the path a year ago, and so, like, you know, now he's totally on the path, so it's totally okay now. I don't know, I feel like CBS gave him a plot line, like, here, like, play for redemption, you know, redeem the family name.
Well, you know, I agree, but the funny thing is I think this may come back to bite him.
Oh, it's going to completely blow up in his face.
I mean, this is not the sort of thing, like, two tattoos with your last name on it, like, like you're going to have to wear your shirt all the time?
Right.
That doesn't, like, someone's going to think something's up. This is Survivor, like, at some point you will be in all but your briefs, you know, like keeping a shirt over this all the time is not going to fly. And I think it's going to come off as hiding something if somebody ever notices.
Yeah, and it was already mentioned. It was noticed by one of his teammates, Sophie.
I noticed. Yeah, Sophie was very good. She doesn't know what he's hiding, but she suspects he's hiding something.
Yeah,
which I mean, her spidey sense is up, so that's good. But, I mean, I think the play for him is don't even try to hide it. You take your shirt off just like every other 19-year-old male who's ever been on Survivor, save for Cochran. And you just be like, yeah, my last name is Hans. People ask me that all the time, and I'm not really, yeah, I never met him. Or, you know, whatever. Like, I don't know him. You know,
play it off that way. I would just tell him that that's my uncle, and I'm here to redeem the family name, and it's like,
I think you do that, you've got a bullseye.
He's got a bullseye anyways. Hiding something, people are going to be suspicious. You know?
Yeah.
It's funny that you bring up Sophie, because the three men we've already talked about, Coach, Albert, and Brandon, are with Sophie and Rick in a five-person alliance, unofficial, but they're working on it.
Yeah.
Sophie obviously has reservations about Brandon, but they're not going to be able to do it without him. Like, you can't have a five person alliance against four with, you know, trying to lock out one person. But maybe he's put himself on the edge already.
I mean, he has, but on the other hand, you know, it doesn't, I mean, all they got to do is pick off one person and then they can oust Brandon.
Mm-hmm.
We also got teased on something between Brandon and Coach, right? Something appears to go down next week that Coach is like a little bit, you know, paradigm shifty about.
Certainly. Opposing this alliance of five would be Stacy, Michaela.
Yes, Stacy, who is, by the way, the anti-Russell. She goes looking for the immunity idol and clues. She literally is like poking
at
it.
That was Christine. Or no.
No.
That
Fox.
Was yeah, sorry. Yeah.
It was Stacy. It was Stacy. Yeah.
Stacy, Michaela, Christine, and Edna.
And Edna's the one whose coach likes her smile.
Yes. But somehow
she's the one who actually helped
line.
Coach. Yeah, she's the one who actually helped Coach like pick up his bag or whatever after the hero challenge when everybody else left him behind or whatever.
Yeah, Edna doesn't seem to have the killer instinct that she's gonna need to make some tough decisions later in this game.
I feel like I even got anything out of Edna yet. I don't even know that I have. What did I say?
I'm just saying, her name's Edna. Like, what more do you need to know?
Oh, that's all we know. Like, yeah, yeah. Exactly. That's the book on Edna.
All right, let's, I mean, just the dynamic at Upolu. You know, the whole thing between Brandon and Michaela I found fascinating. Just because, on one hand, it seemed forced. On the other hand, the camera did seem to find Brandon staring at her quite frequently.
Oh, yeah, this is, I believe psychologists call this reaction formation, right? Like, however you actually feel, you instead project that you feel the exact opposite of it. Like, he clearly wants to oogle the heck out of her.
Thank you.
And instead, you know, is making it sound like, no, I've got to be the good Christian boy, and I've got a wife. He has a wife, right? Did I hear that correctly?
Yeah,
he's got a wife, and, I mean, I sort of get the impression that this whole, like, you know, I've come back to God thing is a little bit putting on airs. you know, in an attempt to sell not just to his fellow tribe mates, but to the audience that he is not the same as Russell.
Right.
You know? But I don't know, like I said, it seems like reaction
the,
formation.
The object of inspection, the apple of his eye, Michaela Wingle, which is an amazing name, professional lingerie football player, has already appeared in Playboy. Like, how many great things do we have going for this girl?
Yeah, well, well, Stacy actually said that Stacy, my fiance, not Stacy, the
contestant.
Player for, right. Yeah, the contestant for Upolu.
Yeah.
How do we say that? Upolu. Upolu. Gonna have to work on that. Yes, Stacy pointed out to me, she said, you know, Brandon, you don't know what you're talking about. This woman is a lingerie football player. You're not getting, this is how she lives, you know, just like, it's not like she's like walking around trying to strut by each guy in the tribe or something. This is just, she's just sort of existing, and Brandon's finding it offensive.
And it's not like, you know, him ogling her is not going to like, she does that in front of 9,000 men on a regular basis. So, you know, what's the difference going to be for her?
Right. Maybe, or you know what, maybe this is a little bit of Brandon attempting to learn from Russell. You know, that Russell has, Russell has sort of had women be his downfall the couple times he's played. Two out of the three times he's played. The third time, you know, it was just a tribe that was out for him. But the first two times, you know, he had a woman who more or less outfoxed him at the end in one way or another, depending on how you want to package it.
Yeah, we'll see how it plays out. That alliance of five is four guys, the only four guys in that tribe, plus
Sophie.
So, yeah, I mean, I could see Sophie flipping and going with the girls' alliance. That's certainly possible. Mm-hmm. She may have a better shot with that five than with the five that she's with now.
Well, and plus she's, you know, for the exact same reason, she's the odd man out if she stays with the current five.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when people look for who to send home next, they look for differences, and there's one obvious one right off the bat.
Right. It's the easiest sort of segregation.
Yeah.
Okay, let's flip over to the other side of the island. We have Savai with Ozzy. Again,
I really want to pronounce this Savai,
like
Hawaii.
Yeah.
Like Hawaii, yeah. I feel like it should be. I mean,
all I heard was Savai.
How many words have you ever seen with two I's consecutively in it?
I don't know that I have.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. So so I feel like we should resort to that which we know, which is Hawaii.
I'm going with what they actually said on television. How about that?
All right, well.
So what do you think of Ozzy as a redemptive plot point?
I mean, I like it. I feel like it's, I feel like it's a little bit forced because, I mean, the first time they get to the beach, he's all like, let's just hang out or whatever. And maybe this is part of his plan. I don't know. We haven't gotten a whole lot of time in the confessional with him to be able to say, you know, he is or isn't really scheming with a everybody stay relaxed plan. But right now it seems like the old Ozzy, which is just, you know, kick back and, you know, provide like crazy for your tribe.
And hope to just keep you around.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Which, by the way, that first conversation that we see with him and Dawn, where she's jabbering and breaking down, and Ozzy is sort of in his, like, Jedi Master mode, mm-hmm. like, you know, harness that inner resistance and let it go and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And then right afterwards he says, okay, I'm going to go catch some fish. My first question is, with what? Like, they don't have any equipment. But then we see
Brandon
Upolu fishing with a mask and the spear.
Yeah.
They're giving it to him right off the bat?
Yeah, who knows?
This seems...
it seems out
not,
of place.
This is not
kinder,
the Survivor
softer,
I once knew.
Survivor, yeah.
Yeah. It is.
They decided, you know, there was like that one season where, like, I think it was the one in Central America where they were like all laying around because it's so hot, they had nothing to eat, and they were just like literally laying around all day. And like, whenever it was footage, it was just people lying on various steps of a temple. Do you have any idea what I'm talking about?
Oh! It was Guatemala, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was the Mayan ruins. It was actually the first time they did two people come back. It was Bobby John and Stephanie LaGrosa.
That season, was just terrible because they were hot. They were laying around. They were doing nothing. So it's better to give them something to do than to watch them lay around doing nothing.
I suppose so. Yeah, I don't know. It just seems like the more this is like the welfare entitlement programs. This is funny. It sounds like I'm indicting Democrats when I actually am a Democrat, but this is like, you know, the progressive welfare survivor.
We have four survive. The ladies are Dawn, Elise, Semhar, and Whitney. Whitney is a former contestant on Nashville's Next Star.
Oh, she's the blonde, yeah.
Didn't say anything until Tribal. Not a whole lot to say.
No, she did say one thing. She said, when they went around the circle, she said, "I'm from Nashville."
Oh, great. Thanks.
Yeah. Well, and I knew there was someone who had been on Nashville. Was it Nashville Star or
Nashville
Next Country
Star
Music
Star?
Yeah. I knew she had been on that. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been able to. That was Whitney, you said?
Yeah, and Elise was actually a former contestant on a reality show as well, or she appeared on a reality show.
Oh, what did she appear on?
The Learning Channel's show Miss America : Reality Check. I don't know what that's about.
Oh, okay.
It's a reality show about Miss America, I presume. She was Miss Washington in 2007.
I see. Well, the two of them I wouldn't have been able to differentiate except for the Nashville Star thing, and I think one's blonde and one's brunette, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise, they basically contributed nothing to this episode so far.
Correct.
No. So the Dawn
had a breakdown. Semhar obviously is a topic of discussion.
Yeah,
but she did
well. And Dawn just needs to learn to shut up.
Well, clearly, if she didn't talk to someone about her little breakdown, she was going to have problems. You know, so I think she did the right thing. I think opening up to Ozzy while making her look weak also makes her look human. Like, you know, I think, you know, people will discount her as being a strategizer or whatever. And she may be a poor strategizer, but at the same time, like, at the very least, you know,
She's
kind of opened herself up and said, "Look, I'm going to be real," and that makes her trustworthy.
Yeah, I could see that. I don't know. I just think she reminds me immediately of, I don't even remember her name. It was the woman. It was the Jimmy Johnson season, and she spent the first She spent the first 3 days, like, trying to be quiet and sit back because she knew, she felt like if she talked all the time, nobody would like her or nobody would trust her or whatever. And she did it for, like, 2.5 days, and then she got to tribal council, and she basically jabbered the whole time and then got herself voted out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Dawn is not nearly as bad, and obviously doesn't have the problem of having 2.5 days of talking pent up inside of her or anything, but nonetheless, I'm concerned about her because of that.
I will say, I don't think she did herself any favors by saying that she's like, nothing about this is anything like my home life. Like, it's just such a pathetic, like, statement. Like, what did you expect? Like, was your husband going to be there?
Well, it's...
What part of Utah was going to come with you?
I understand it. Yeah, I mean, ultimately, I think when she says that, that's one of the few things that I think is actually not nearly as bad as it sounds, you know, because I think when she says that, I imagine everybody but Ozzy or Coach would say, you know, would be saying to themselves, you know, I feel the same way, you know, I may not be as willing to share it with everybody, but they feel the same way, right? I mean, this is a pretty shocking, immersive experience to put yourself through. So
the other four members of the tribe are the men. It's Jim, the medical marijuana dealer, Johnny Cochran, Keith, who's the bro who we never hear from, and Mark Anthony, who is the fabulously gay New York detective.
Well, and then Ozzy, obviously.
But yeah, well, I'm saying we talked about this, but
right.
Let's start with Johnny Cochran. He's supposed to be our folk hero, and I will say, he seems pretty naive to the experience for someone who's watched the show as much as he has.
Yeah. Well, he's... I don't know that he's naive to the experience. I think what it is he's just not very good at self-awareness. I think that's what it really is.
Well, maybe not awareness itself, but awareness of, like, where the winds are blowing. That,
yeah,
like, people are expressing dissatisfaction with his performance.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, but, I mean, that's sort of... those are one and the same, ultimately, right? I mean, that's being able to see what he looks like to everybody else, right? I mean, that's self-awareness, right?
I guess. Self-image.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely find myself rooting for him because, I mean, as Stacy, my fiance, said, what she points out, he is not me, but I see him as me in that he is the superfan who watches all the episodes. Now, granted, I haven't seen every episode, but I'm close. So I identify with him in that capacity. I don't identify with him in the non-athletic capacity, but... I'm not Jim Thorpe.
You know, he did show some savvy in not calling anyone out and not, like, he tried to make a case for people keeping him around, and I think ultimately that did swing some people into, you know, coming around on Semhar, although, again, we have tribal conflict to talk about, but.
He
shows his chops later on.
Yeah, agreed. Definitely.
Jim, I think, is going to be,
entertaining?
I was trying to use, an expletive, but I'm going to refrain from doing that. He's a pot stirrer. He's a troublemaker. He's the one who's going to call people out. He's the one who's going to be very upfront
about...
What
would be the expletive? An S-kicker?
An S-disturber.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Although Jim aside, I'm a huge Mark Anthony fan, Papa Bear. I think he's great. He's kind of, like, grating on me at the beginning, talking about family and stuff, but, like, I've really come around on him. Like, he's, like, flamboyant. You can see the New York detective in him. Like, I like the contradiction.
Yeah, no, I agree. I like it. I would agree with you. The New York cop who's also, you know, this gay, cuddly bear. Yeah, it doesn't quite... those aren't images that have much of an overlap.
I just want to see how it manifests itself throughout the season. Like, I want him to have a little breakdown like Dawn's was and just completely, like, let his fabulous self out and just cry and whatever else.
Yeah, I mean, he's fun. I like him. The thing about Jim is, Jim, I feel like, he's actually taking a very Russell approach. He's decided he's going to proclaim himself to be something that he's not at all. He's claiming he's a high school teacher, right? For forensics?
Science teacher of some sort, yeah.
Science teacher, yeah. Which I feel like he does some things later on that are very... that if anybody else is a teacher, which there are other people there who are teachers...
Christine.
Would... was it Christine? Oh, okay, so they're not on the same tribe anyway. But anybody who's there who is a teacher would immediately notice, like... he's not a teacher. Like, a teacher wouldn't do those sorts of things. The clear example to me is, you know, the semi-tirade on Semhar at right after the immunity challenge. I mean, I'm a competitive person too, but the teacher in me and the coach in me, not the contestant, the coach, but the actual just coaching of people in me, you know, would not have done that. And I think I'm just as competitive as the next guy. So, I think he showed his colors there.
I think he showed a lack of restraint, although, again, perhaps that is his goal is to, you know, someone on that tribe has to be kind of confrontational. So maybe that's going to be his jam. We haven't talked about Keith at all, and I kind of like it that way because he hasn't anything to talk about. So, we're just going to move
basically
on.
He basically nodded whenever Ozzy said anything, right?
Right.
That was his contribution to this episode.
Baskets.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he made some baskets.
All right. Speaking of, let's roll on to the immunity challenge. I liked it. I liked the little maze where they collide with each other, although I don't know that they made the most of the footage of that. And maybe they just couldn't record it properly. But there was a lot of, like, wrestling and, like, jostling going on in that little intersection.
Yeah.
I thought it was good.
Well, did you did you see the shot of Ozzy? I mean, he, like, surfed right through it all. Like, he took a dive and just slid, and when he was done sliding, he was through the whole thing. It was amazing. It was like, I felt like I was watching Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift or something.
Well, I mean, again, as great as that is, ultimately, it's all for one, one for all. Everyone has to get to the mat, so even though he's sliding through there, I mean, ultimately, I guess he's just making less collisions for the other team? I don't know. Maybe?
Well, he's making less collisions for both. I mean, the less people in there, the better, you know. Ultimately, you know, gain for one side is gain for both sides there, but...
I thought Blue showed a lot of savvy, or Upolu. I keep calling him Blue. Upolu,
like Blue. I like that. That's easier to keep track of.
They got two guys up there who could help actually hoist people up at first. They got those guys up there. They got Rick up there and, like, another guy.
Yeah, you put the strong people up there first. Yeah, and you leave... I think the other smart strategy is you leave the tallest people for the end because they're going to be the easiest to just grab.
Although, well, I was impressed when Brandon was the last on Blue.
He just jumps up.
Well, no, he jumps up and
oh, I don't know his name.
He grabbed him by the arm, the coach.
The black guy.
Yeah, black. We remind ourselves of the guy from last season. What was black coach's name last season?
Hello, Philip?
Philip, yeah. Not Philip. The other ethnically ambiguous coach. He grabs Brandon with both forearms and, like, hauls him up, which is so impressive. Like,
oh, yeah. That was beastly.
That guy's a horse.
That was something there. I was impressed. Yeah, really I saw impressive. That and I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
And if I'm not mistaken, I think he actually has his arms sort of inverted because Brandon is holding, like, with his palms inward. So I think I think, again, we don't remember his name, but I think he had them palms outward, so he was grabbing and lifting in a pose that's not comfortable.
His name is Albert.
Albert, there we go. Yeah. Did you catch the double entendre from Probst during the challenge?
It's about coconuts. It's about nuts.
Ozzy releases his coconuts. It was so bad and the set, but I mean, I didn't even have to, like, go there. Like, the second Probst said it just sounded so entendre.
You know, it seemed like Blue was really doing well, but Red caught up with them pretty quickly, and had it not been for Semhar completely losing her all of her ability to shoot, like,
I mean, are we in agreement that basically, that essentially Semhar did not make any, right? I mean, is there any chance she made a basket?
She may have made one of the first two. Again, she was, like, doing, like, the normal shot the first time, and then, like, her arms got tired, so she decided to do the Rick Barry.
Yeah. Yeah, the two-handed from between the legs.
Right.
Which just was not working at all.
It was never going to work. And she started whining immediately and begging for a tack out, which was never going to come.
Right.
It's just pathetic.
It was pretty bad. But yeah, I mean, Blue was way in the lead. I think Red makes up most of the difference in the sand.
The digging, right.
Ozzy pulls out the machete, I would say, within a moment or two of Rick pulling out the machete.
Yeah.
Rick kind of pulls away a little bit then again, though, on the chopping. Not surprising, considering he runs a ranch. But Ozzy didn't give up too much ground there. Then Ozzy releases his coconuts.
I thought our professional lingerie football player did a wonderful job. She seemed to be hitting everything.
Oh, was she that's Michaela?
Michaela, yeah.
She was the one for...
she was the girl for Blue.
With who? With Brandon and... Keith? No, Brandon and Albert?
It was probably Albert.
Okay.
Wait, who's Keith?
Keith, no, oh, yeah. No, I was wrong. Keith is on red. Keith is the Aussie yes man.
Right. It was Coach? I think it was Coach.
No, Coach was not shooting.
Was it Brandon? Brandon, Michaela?
It was Brandon, Michaela, and another
Albert?
Guy. It's one of... I don't know.
It was Albert. Who knows?
Maybe it was Albert. Yeah, okay.
Whatever.
But yeah, they did well. But, I mean, clearly, Ozzy and who was the other shooter for Red? Was it Keith?
Keith, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the two of them must have been
knocking
absolutely
down.
Draining yeah. everything
Keith
because...
Keith is like 6'5".
What'd be 6'5"?
I mean, he probably played some ball in his past, you know?
He's fit. Yeah. I mean, Semhar's performance is just insane to me because Ozzy's doing... If you watch, Ozzy's shooting them one-handed.
Yeah.
If anyone of Ozzy's build... Now, granted, Ozzy's got a little build to him, but he's not Russell out there. He's not James from Survivor China. You know, if he can shoot them one-handed, you ought to be able to shoot them two-handed without, you know, do a volleyball set shot or something or whatever.
She's a spoken word artist. Like, right, at what point was she working on
who
her pipe?
Busted out a Billie Jean reference or something.
She did, talking about white tiles. It was good. You did it.
It was impressive. It also, I gotta say, was probably rehearsed. or at least she's used it before. I mean, right? I mean, there's like, are people able to just like sort of freestyle that easily?
No, I think there are poems that she knows that like she recites frequently, and there are poems that she wants to commit to memory so that she can present them without having the paper in her hand that like separates her from the audience. So it wouldn't surprise me to have a spoken word artist know, you know, 10 to 20 lines just off the top of her head that she's memorized.
Okay.
You'll buy that?
Fair enough. Yeah. So, all right, let's talk pre-tribal, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think unexpectedly, I was certainly not expecting Coach's team to take it, although they kind of, you know, Red crippled themselves with Semhar taking the lead. I try not to jump ahead in our agenda and talk about tribal, but I like Jeff's question about would you rather play with the one who's got the guts to speak up, or would you rather... play with the one who's like okay with letting the other guy go. I don't know.
I'd rather play with the person who knows their strengths and their weaknesses.
That wasn't an option.
That's what I'd rather play with.
That wasn't an option,
but nonetheless.
It's very rich of me.
What's that?
It's very,
very rich of me?
What's his name? Rich?
Oh, was he the one who said that?
Jim, sorry. I get my name. It's first episode. The pot dealer. He said that. He's like, she's so freaking unaware of her.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Is like, you know, I love the go get 'em attitude, but like, the go get 'em attitude is great for the challenges where we all got to do the same thing.
Right.
That's not great when we need our three best people doing something, and you just want to be go get 'em. You know, like go get 'em isn't great there. Knowing your strengths and weaknesses is what's great there.
I thought it was interesting that Ozzy was scheming to keep Semhar around.
Yeah. Well, and that was one of my notes, is that Jim had a real good spider sense on that. Yeah. You know, he said, why is Ozzy already trying to keep her around? He might be, you know, he's clearly got a plan in mind here, because there's really no other reason to want to keep her.
And it's almost indefensible to try to point the finger at... Johnny Cochran, when you have, like, physical evidence that Semhar will be a liability and challenge at the time, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, the fact that she got the confrontation should also concern you, the fact that she's, like, able to choose somebody out in public like that. You don't want to get put on blast in front of your tribe mate. So, you know, that certainly makes her less desirable to keep around.
Yeah, it was very odd to have directed attention Cochran's way. Although, I mean, you know, maybe he's just attempting to set up a pecking order early on, you know, so that his name doesn't drift into it. I mean, I don't know why he would. He clearly was very accepted by his tribe, and, you know, he's a provider. He's a strong competitor, so there's not really any reason why they would ever, you know, think to get out Ozzy in the first three, in the first two or three votes. But, you know, maybe he's just trying to establish, you know, have our next up, or, you know, our on deck ready.
Yeah, that's always a good idea, though, to have this set up in the future that, you know, you know, why worry about trying to vote me out when we still haven't voted out John? You know, like, we're prepared to have this pecking order set. And just looking at the sides, originally, going into tribal, I thought the sides broke down as Ozzy, Semhar, Whitney, Elise. So that's Ozzy and the three young girls.
Mm-hmm.
Plus
Keith, right?
Plus Keith and Jim. No, plus Keith. No, sorry, Jim was on the other
just
side.
Keith. Yeah. Jim was
so
definitely
basically, like,
at
the five youngest members of the tribe, minus Johnny Cochran. Again,
right.
Johnny Cochran, Jim, Mark Anthony, who was Papa Bear,
and Dawn.
And Dawn. And I thought it was going to be. I thought it would be Johnny Cochran's time to go. No, it's 5-4. It was 5-4 that
right. Well, I mean, I don't mean split as in precisely, but split in terms of
five
like,
to four,
not
yeah.
a unanimous or an obvious yeah. landslide vote out.
Yeah, I don't know. What
yeah, I was concerned. I was concerned for Cochran. You know, it's possible that there were people who swung
at tribal
I don't know. I mean, I feel like Cochran did a good pitch. You know, being, you know, it seemed like he was rather magnanimous in his self-defense. You know, he was sort of like, he didn't think it was that obvious. He just sort of said, oh, was that obvious? And then everybody said yes. And he was like, oh, wow, gosh, I didn't realize, like, I'm going to step it up then. And it was very, I feel like his pitch was a good pitch without feeling like a pitch.
Yeah,
you know?
No, he seems very cavalier, but at the same time, he was working hard to sort of get their trust back and sort of establish mm-hmm. himself as like, you know, I'm this non-threatening Survivor fan. Just let me stick around. Mm-hmm. I'll do whatever you say. And I think in terms of cards he could have played, that was really his best card. I mean, he could have tried to like fight back and like try to point out all of Semhar's deficiencies, but I mean, he did a little of that, but I think if you do too much of that, it looks too desperate, and it makes you look bad. It's like, this is somebody who's going to call me out and make me look bad. So why would I want to pick that guy on?
Yeah. And I mean, the thing that, you know, the juxtaposition there is, you know, Semhar basically kept saying, you know, I gave it my all. I'm sorry, you know, that I sucked it up. And he's basically saying, without actually explicitly saying this, because it would be a little bit bad to say it.
I'm not full effort yet.
Well, not so. I mean, yeah, he's basically saying like, I can do more. I mean, it's not, you know, ultimately, if you think about it, that's the same thing as saying I'm not giving you 100%, but he didn't pitch, you know, he didn't put it that way, but you know, he's like, all right, I'll step it. I'll make sure that I'm doing better then, you know, and fortunately for him, nobody read that as, oh, have you been holding back?
Right. Which could have really blown up in his face. I gotta say, for me personally, I think they got it right. I think Semhar was the right move, not only in terms of strategy, but also in terms of what's right for the tribe and what's just. Like, voting her out seems more just than picking on the nerdy guy.
Oh, definitely. It would have been completely arbitrary
not completely arbitrary.
It would have been rather arbitrary to have voted him out.
It's just nice to see the nerd triumph over the hot girl sometimes. Just sometimes, you know.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, I guess what I mean is, voting him out would have been no different. Choosing to vote him out would have been no different than choosing to vote out Papa Bear or Dawn, either. Like, it would have been simply prejudging. I feel like it would have been basically prejudging and.
But I feel like Don put himself out there. I feel like Don put himself out there for candidacy. More so than
I guess
Don
a
did.
Little bit. I mean, you know, we don't know how much of that editing is, you know, is. What editing room work, meaning, like, you know, we don't know how much of those shots of other people staring are them actually staring at them.
That's true.
You know, for all we know, that really was a private moment between her and Ozzy.
Do you believe her when she says she's over it?
I think she's good. She reminds me of, I think her name was Holly from two seasons ago.
Okay.
Is that right?
All I know is I'm voting her most likely to quit. Think of all the contestants out there.
Like she's I don't think she'll quit. I don't think she'll quit because she.
Oh yeah, Holly about
being a mother,
swim coach.
Yeah, yeah. She reminds me of Holly. Like Holly had the breakdown with Jimmy Johnson, and Jimmy Johnson built her back up.
Mm-hmm.
And she was good for a long time, and I think she had another moment late in the season where it was just sort of like you know she kind of just needed to have the release. You know, it wasn't so much that like. You know, she needed to get me a helicopter so I can get out of here. It was just like, I needed the emotional release, and it'll happen again. So I think that'll be what'll happen with Dawn, too. I think she'll be good for a while and might have another breakdown, but it won't kill her. At least not, she won't self-destruct, I should put it that way. She won't self-destruct and pull herself out of the game. But it might kill her in terms of somebody else might put her out because of it.
Do you have anything else from Tribal that you wanted to talk about?
Not really. We covered it all.
Yeah, no, let's move forward. Yeah. We have our last segment, which is Pick Your Horse for the year.
Well, actually, you know what? I do have one thing from Tribal Council.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to harp on it because it's the thing that drives me nuts. They got to redo they got to rethink the torch snuff. They've got to replace the torch snuff with something else so that the torch snuff can come at Redemption Island. That's all. Needs to happen.
Diatribe over.
Agree? Disagree?
I don't even want to embellish. I don't want to like give you the satisfaction of having accepted. We've beaten this thing into the ground.
Well, it's a little deeper now. All right, go ahead.
So horse selection. This is after the first episode, you pick the one person and you ride it, and then come hell or high water. Last season, I did all right. I chose Ashley, who got used by Boss and Rob up until about the final four or five, and then was summarily sent on her butt out of the game.
Yeah, she was fourth, I believe. Right?
Fourth or fifth? Yeah.
No, I think she might have been fifth because they had to bump her out because Andrea won immunity. I think, right?
Yeah, something like that. And your horse is David, who did not as well. He was the first jury member, right?
He was, yep.
But he certainly has potential. I like the pick. He has some strategy. He's not athletically super threatening. I don't think that's a good horse to pick. Unless he's like just super dominant. Like
but he is athletically capable.
Yeah, no, he's not incompetent. Right.
Right.
Yeah, he's not incompetent. Like, Johnny Cochran would be a terrible horse pick, not only because his name was on the block this week, but just from a physical standpoint. It's a bad horse.
Yeah. I don't know that I'm ready to pick a horse. You go ahead and you pick yours. I'm going to think. I need to think about this a little bit.
You have the list in front of you, so at least you are able to pick.
No, let me get the list up here.
Yeah, I can send you. I can send you yours. A link to the page I'm looking at. Are you on your chat? I'll send it to you. For me, again, I'm looking for someone who is physically capable but not super threatening. Looking for someone who's going to be competitive and strategic, but not like outwardly cutthroat and making problems for him or herself. I don't want anyone who's too young, and I don't want anyone who's too old. And for me, the person who fits those qualifications the most, and who I see being active enough to get herself well spoken, well thought of on the jury, was Elise, the Las Vegas dancer.
Okay.
She's on.
She's the Miss America contestant, also, right?
Yeah, she's on the red team. She was the former Miss America contestant. She's been on a reality show before. She's been on the pageant team before. That's incredibly cutthroat and competitive. She understands reality TV. She won't freak out. She won't quit. She's not too young. She's not too old. She's physically about right. And I think she can charm the right people and get herself pretty far in this game as long as. She arrives at the merge with a decent split, meaning not like crippled, like three on her side and seven on the other, something like that. I don't think she could talk her way out of that.
I think I'm going to go. I can't go with Cochran as much as I would love to go with Cochran because it would feel like I was picking me in some way. I gotta say, I'm leaning towards Keith, just because he's laying low, which is good. But I don't like that he's like, I don't know. He feels like he could be actually a little bit of a Judd type from a couple seasons
ago. Fabio?
Fabio, yeah. That's right, they call him Fabio. I was thinking Judd was the nickname, but Judd is his given name. I don't think there's any chance for Coach or Ozzy.
I don't. No, I agree.
I think Ozzy has the much better chance out of the two, but... who, by the way, Ozzy has definitely put on some weight, huh? He used to be...
That's just with age. Like, you know, he was like, what, 23, 24 before?
Yeah.
Early 20s and 30s are different things.
Yeah, that's true. Yes. Ozzy's 30 now. I think I'm going to have to go with Mark, actually. I'm going to go with...
I wanted Mark.
I'm going to go with Papa Bear.
I wanted Papa Bear. I did. I really wanted Papa Bear, and I want, like, I was like, I just can't pull the trigger on the old man. I can't see it. I know Rick's older, but, like, Mark just looks like an older man, and, you know, the whole,
he
like...
He does.
I think, but I feel I think like his social game is going to be really good.
His social game is going to be good. He's a detective. Or a retired detective, so you know I imagine his spidey sense will be good when things are afoot that are not meshing well with his plans. And you know, despite the fact that he's probably a little overweight, I think he's got some prowess in him enough to hold his own.
He didn't look like a liability at all during the challenge. No, I think Mark is an excellent player. I commend your horse selection.
Yeah. I refuse to commend yours, sorry.
Oh, just on principle?
Well, I mean, based on your track record so far, I think you just picked the best-looking one and say, I want her to be around long enough so I can keep looking at her each week.
No, I'm actually not most attracted to Elise. Actually, I think I'm more of a Michaela or a Whitney. Or a Semhar.
Yeah,
I think all three of those girls are more attracted to me than Elise.
Semhar, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, Semhar, I can't get on board with Semhar. I mean, Michaela, she plays lingerie football, so you can't argue with that. I don't know.
Even Dawn, you know, Dawn's got like something going for a mom, you know.
Dawn has got a little Dara Torres thing going on. did you notice? I mean, she's pretty cut for a 41-year-old mother. She is cut.
Well, she's their adopted.
Oh, all of her kids are adopted? Yeah. That's interesting. Well, I mean, adopted or not adopted, you're still running around. Did she say six kids? I want to say she said six kids.
But at the same time, like, it's not like her body's been racked by six pregnancies, you know?
Either way, she is in impressive shape for any 41-year-old, kids or no kids.
That's correct.
My point was she looks remarkably like the 41-year-old Olympic swimmer, or 40-something-year-old Olympic swimmer.
All right. Well, we got to wrap this thing up. I want to thank you all for hanging with us for the full almost hour that we've gone on.
That was a long premiere episode.
Yeah, we're going to keep it briefer in the future. We're going to shoot for 45 and under for our episode length. And Chris, where can they find us on Twitter?
Well, right now it's, I believe, still Merge Podcast is the Twitter handle, and then merge@vanb.net is the email address. We've not changed those over, but they will get changed soon enough.
What about iTunes?
So, and then on iTunes, I think it's still under the name Merge Podcast. So, but if you found this one, I think you know how to find us on iTunes.
That's a good point. All right.
Yeah.
Or you linked on, or you got one of our links on Facebook. Either way,
not sure how to
around.
Find our podcast. Listen to our podcast. We'll give you instructions on how to find our podcast.
Right. Okay. Well, again, on behalf of Chris, I'm Ralph. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.